So thank you all for coming. Welcome to EU 101, Introduction to the Expanded Universe. Yay, hooray. I guess we'll start with by going down the list of panelists. Go ahead and start down there.
My name is Brian Novicki. I write for EUCantina.net.
Tom Hutchins, I'm the founder and commanding officer of the Mandalorian Mercs.
James Clark, administrator of BobaFett.com.
Daniel Eisenhower, I'm just a guy. I'll run the trivia contest later.
Nice. My name is Aaron Goins. I am a book reviewer for StarWarsReport.com, and I also am a host of the podcast Star Wars Bookworms.
I'm Nancy Schwartz. I write for Tashi Station, and I also co-host the Tashi Station radio.
And I'm Brian Larson. I also write at Tashi-Station.net, and I'm the other host of Tashi Station Radio. So I suppose we should start with, what is the expanded universe? I'm going to look at you now, since you wrote this speech.
Yes. So if you don't have a syllabus, you can maybe look on with your neighbor. I used to be a TA, so I had to write a syllabus. So how many of you are familiar with the expanded universe? Okay, yay. How many of you are really familiar with the expanded universe? Okay, good. How many of you know nothing about the expanded universe? Excellent. We're going to get you at the end of this panel.
And how many of you that are really familiar with the expanded universe are only here because we're giving away books?
Yay.
Okay, great.
Okay, so the expanded universe, abbreviated EU or SWEU if you're on Twitter, is basically everything besides the movies or the Clone Wars television show, although that is debatable. Basically, anything that George Lucas was not personally involved in is considered expanded universe. And we'll address questions regarding that later, considering George Lucas doesn't own Star Wars anymore. That makes everything fun now. I know a lot of people that I've talked to who want to read Star Wars books and have no idea where to start because there are so many of them. There's a poster in the back of the room with covers of all the adult Star Wars novels as of June. So there's a lot of books. Or there are people who started reading books and then stopped and now they want to start again and they have no idea where to start. So we're just here to help you, give you suggestions of where to start, where you won't feel overwhelmed. This is The Essential Reader's Companion, written by Pablo Hidalgo, who is awesome. If you don't follow him on Twitter, you should, because he's awesome and he knows everything about Star Wars. He read every single adult novel and summarized them all. So if you don't want to read all the books, but you still want to know what happened, this is a wonderful book to get. It also is really good at killing bugs because it's really heavy. And we'll be giving
amazing.
Away a copy later on.
And if you don't feel like carrying it around, they do have a digital version as well you can get. So you can just put it on your iPad and you don't have to worry about it being so heavy.
Yeah.
I actually have that on my iPad up here right now.
Also, before we go too much further, if at any point you've got questions for us, raise your hands. We've got a runner over here. He'll bring a mic over to you, and we'll do our best to answer your questions. So we should probably talk a little bit about the canon status and future of the expanded universe. Canon being, how real is this piece of fiction in this fictional universe? Inside the Essential Reader's Companion is a note from Pablo Hidalgo stating that the most definitive canon of the Star Wars universe is encompassed by the feature films and television productions in which George Lucas is directly involved. But Lucas allows for an expanded universe that exists parallel to the one he directly oversees. Unless something occurs in a canon project to directly contradict a published source, it can reliably be said to have occurred.
Take into account, this book was written and released prior to late October 2012. And everyone knows what happened in late October 2012.
Yeah, so something about a mouse.
Those guys now own us. Mickey. So a lot of people have said, now that George Lucas doesn't own Star Wars anymore, and people like J.J. Abrams are going to be doing the sequel trilogy, and then other people are going to be doing standalone films, what does that mean for the saga and canon? What does that mean for the expanded universe? Because for a very long time, the only expanded universe existed after the movies. And now there's going to be sequel movies that are probably not going to be have to do with those books. So the best answer is we don't know. Lucasfilm doesn't know. Lucasbooks doesn't know. And when they know, they'll tell us. In the meantime, we're just kind of waiting and seeing. And so basically saying, why are we going to try to get you to read all these books if they might not count? Well, the reason I use count is because I don't really care about all that, because I just think they're good books. So if you care about everything fitting in, you might not want to start reading right now. But
so, like we mentioned, we're using the Essential Reader's Companion as the sort of textbook for this course. Within the ERC are a bunch of plot summaries, dates in which these books occurred. So that's a great resource to pick up, thumb through, see if you find something you like. But one of the tricky things is there are a lot of books, and many of these books are not good places to get into the expanded universe, but there are some great novels that are good places to start. And what we thought we'd do is just go sort of through chronological order, go through different eras, give our picks of good places to start, just based on time frames you might be interested in. So the first, on these sheets you have, these are just our suggested picks. That's by no means the only places you can start reading, but that's just what we're comfortable recommending. But I think we'll go ahead and start with Before the Republic. This is 37,000 to 25,000 years before the Battle of Yavin, and this isn't an area that Nancy and I are too familiar with. So if anyone down there has some recommendations or can kind of summarize what's going on in this era and give some books, comics and games you can recommend for this little chunk of time.
Well, what this chunk of time is doing is, this is long, long, long before the movies, to when the Jedi Order is really just being founded. They're learning about the Force. They're just on this planet Tython, completely feeling everything out there. Sith, you know, Jedi, all grouped together. The Sith is more of a race than an organization at this point. And the big part that is currently out in the expanded universe for this era is the Dawn of the Jedi comic series by John Ostrander, and with art by Jan Buscema. And I really recommend that because it has some very beautiful, beautiful art. But yeah, it's just kind of interesting to see how the Jedi came to be, and it starts moving them towards what we know. You know, we see them build their first lightsabers and things like that. So it's a good history lesson for the Star Wars universe.
Aren't they called the Jedi too? In that?
Yeah, I can't pronounce that.
Or it's Jedi.
It's different though. Yeah, it's
J-D-A-I. G-E-D
J-E-D.
Yeah.
Something.
There's also a novel that falls in that time period by Tim Leben. It's called Dawn of the Jedi Into the Void, and it's actually my favorite novel that I've read so far this year that's come out in 2013. I would highly recommend it. It doesn't focus on any characters that you would know, but there's a great female Jedi that it focuses on, Lenori Brock. Really cool story. Definitely would recommend picking that one up. And it's a completely standalone story, so you don't need to know a lot about the rest of the expanded universe to really get, you know, enjoyment out of that novel.
Yeah, I think this is the newest era, so there's really not a lot in it yet, except for the Dawn of the Jedi comics and the book. And I don't think you have to read both to understand, right?
No, they work separately. Although you can, if you do read both, you'll probably get a little bit more out of it. out of the experience, but they definitely stand alone, so you don't have to read the comics to understand what's going on in the novel and vice versa.
Yeah, so the thing to remember with this, before the Republic era, the 25,000 years before the Battle of Yavin, it's very much an origin kind of era. Origin stories for the universe, the lore, things like that. So if that sort of stuff interests you, you may want to take a look at some of the offerings there. And like Aaron said, Dawn of the Jedi Into the Void is a great book to pick up in that regard. If you're still here on Sunday, we've got a copy of Dawn of the Jedi Into the Void that we will be giving away, that Nancy and I will be giving away on the Women and Minorities in Star Wars panel. So, shameless plug, come for that. Maybe win a book. So, anything else to add into that era?
And the next era chronologically is the Old Republic era. A lot of people are familiar with this era because of the video games, the Knights of the Old Republic video games, which are very, very popular. One of the only Star Wars video game I've actually played. the Old Republic MMORPG that's pretty popular right now. But there's a ton of other comics and novels. And so basically, if you're interested in more of the history of the Star Wars galaxy, there's a lot of Sith, Jedi versus Sith action. So if that's the sort of thing that you like, you'll probably like this era. I'm going to step back now because I've only played the game. So.
Does anybody on the panel have any recommendations from the Old Republic era?
The games are actually a really good source for that era. I mean, I know there's a lot of books, but I mean, I think EU encompasses, I mean, the games are a big part of that.
In this era, I would actually start with by playing Knights of the Old Republic.
Absolutely. I mean, and the story is, it's like you're watching a movie or reading a book with all you have to read anyway.
Knights of the Old Republic is a fantastic video game by BioWare, the great people who did Mass Effect, Dragon Age.
Is it 2003?
2003, somewhere in there, yeah.
It's on Steam, right?
It is. It's available on Steam. That's probably
the
best.
iPad, yeah.
And the iPad. I've totally forgot. They ported it there. Even if you're not keen on picking up a bunch of books, at least go play Knights of the Old Republic.
The comics. The Old Republic comics are pretty good as well. They kind of lead up almost to the video games in some parts. You follow a young Jedi, Zane Carrick, through kind of his struggles going on during the Mandalorian Wars, the Sith and Mandalorian team up against the Republic. But I thought it was pretty good line of comics. Of course, like any comics, it's always got its ups and downs. But you kind of find out, about Darth Revan before Darth Revan is Darth Revan. You find out about who these guys come up, end up being later on in the future. But it's kind of a nice prequel to some of the stuff that goes on in Knights of the Old Republic. And it's Knights of the Old Republic.
Okay, question over there.
Yes, my question is, would you suggest people to read the Darth Bane trilogies to learn a little bit more about the Sith and the Rule of Two?
Yeah, I was just going to bring that up. So if you read the novels and comics or play the games that take place in this era, it's very different from what you see in Phantom Menace and the rest of the prequels as far as how the Sith are organized. And the Darth Bane trilogy basically explains how the whole rule of two, there's only one master and one apprentice in the Sith, how that started. Darth Bane was the Sith that started that. These novels are pretty popular. They're by Drew Karpyshyn.
One of the writers at BioWare who was working on Knights of the Old Republic and some other material they've been working on through the years.
Yeah, but that's a trilogy. I'd say the first Darth Bane book, Path of Destruction, is a pretty good place to start off. It's a little bit farther in the timeline, so again, you don't really need to know a lot to pick up.
Yeah. Do we have another question back there? Okay.
The poster boy, though, for this era is definitely Darth Revan, though.
Yes, absolutely.
He is, I'd say he's one of the most popular characters in Star Wars EU, and he comes from this era. So if you don't know who he is now, people who are unfamiliar, you will.
Don't go read Wikipedia.
Yeah, don't read about Darth Revan. We're not going to tell you anything about
it. Don't do it. What you should do is grab your iPads, go on to the Apple Store, give them $10, and get yourself a ported copy of Knights of the Old Republic and play that.
And discover one of your new favorite Star Wars characters.
Darth Malak's another good one. He's another fairly popular Sith in this time that you find out about.
You know what? I found out actually the lineage of his name. Yeah. Darth Malak, or Malach, is Hebrew for angel, so he's a fallen angel. So
he
was once a Jedi.
I don't know who he is, but if you read the comics, you'll find out who he is.
I was like, whoa.
Question over here, and then one over there.
I was just going to make an observation about some of the Star Wars and Knights of the Old Republic stuff and the MMO. If you do go back and play through the single-player games, even if you're not interested in playing the MMO for a long term, it's worth it to get to the mid-levels on that because it continues the Revan story. Gives you kind of their canonical take on how the Revan stuff plays out.
Which is weird, but...
Kind of neat.
I mean, it's neat, but weird. And
right, because it might not necessarily flow with the original.
Right.
But anyways, there's also a nice timeline. If you're not interested in playing the games, you can go on the Knights of the Old Republic website and probably watch like a video animation thing that lasts for nearly an hour.
Oh, yeah.
It takes you through events in the timeline step by step.
I mean, if you could go on a YouTube binge and be there all day and night watching KOTOR videos of conversations with Kandor Sordo and HK-47. So,
of course, I'm just trying to get you all to play one of the finest video games ever made. So,
HK-47 will be one of your favorite characters after
That's
you play
true.
The game.
He makes several appearances in later games.
Yeah. Sorry.
I was just going to say, if you're not into playing the video games, there is a Darth Revan novel as well.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, if you're more into just reading the books, you can pick that up as well.
And question over here.
Less a question, more an observation. Knights of the Old Republic 2 often gets ignored. I mean, it was unfinished, but very, very worthwhile if you're interested in the Sith and
well,
the Mandalorians.
I absolutely would recommend playing Knights of the Old Republic 2. For the sake of this panel, we're more discussing great starting points for eras. But if you've played Knights of the Old Republic, it's worth playing Knights of the Old Republic 2. It's not as polished a game, but there's a lot of good stuff to mine out of it.
Yeah, if you go to any of the Star Wars celebrations, at least being familiar with Knights of the Old Republic 2 is good because you'll know who Darth Nihilus is. And that's the only reason I'm like, I know him.
There's
he's from Knights of the Republic.
One more thing from this era. If you're completely uninterested in Knights of the Old Republic and video games and things like that, there's a book by John Jackson Miller called Knight Errant that is a really strong book about a female character, which we don't get a ton in the EU, and I'm sure you guys will talk more about it at your Women and Minorities panel, but Knight Errant by John Jackson Miller is one of my favorite expanded universe books ever, and this is an era that I usually don't care about at all, so I definitely recommend Knight Errant.
So the next era we'd obviously hit is Rise of the Empire, 67 years before the Battle of Yavin to zero, or right up to that point. Obvious. There's some pretty obvious material in this era.
Yeah. Well, it was kind of hard picking out major storylines, because if you've seen the prequels, you pretty much know what the major storylines are. But there's a ton of stuff about the Clone Wars. I'm going to toss it over to you, because...
Well, there is a lot of when the new movies were coming out, well, the prequels were coming out, Lucas Books really focused on that era and released a lot of material. They did a really good job of keeping everything in line. Like, they gave us very specific dates and things like that, which for me kept it very interesting. Then the Clone Wars TV show came along and kind of changed that timeline. Some of the stories still stand pretty strong, but there's definitely some stories specifically about Anakin's knighthood or when he got his scar and things like that that kind of changed when the Clone Wars television show came out.
Which one are you talking about? The original Clone Wars cartoon network did, right?
I'm referring specifically to the animated or the CGI.
The Filoni show.
Star Wars,
yeah, right.
Star Wars, Clone Wars. this.
But there is a lot of great material in that era. The Republic comic series is actually one of my favorite comic series. A lot of it was done by John Ostrander and Jan Dersma. Great characters like Quinlan Vos, he was introduced in that era, who's become a big fan favorite in the Star Wars Expanded Universe. So even though some of those stories conflict with the Clone Wars, I would still recommend picking them up. They're great reads if you're into comics. Anyone else have any other?
Yeah, if there's any Boba or Jango Fett fans, they also have the Open Seasons comic series in this part of the timeline. They made those to coincide with the Bounty Hunter game that came out right before Episode 2, which was a lot of fun. It was, PlayStation 2, I think, that was on. And the Open Season comics is a four-issue series and goes through Jango Fett's joining of the Mandalorians, and it also cleans up the original storyline that Boba Fett had, where he was originally Jaster Mareel. So you meet Jaster Mareel and you figure out kind of where all those characters fit in the finalized version of that story. So that's pretty interesting.
We've also got the Republic Commando book series, which is a great series. Up until, I think, until you get to maybe the next to last one, it kind of starts getting a little bit different there. But yeah, you got the Republic Commando series that starts out with Bloodlines, which is Karen Travis books. Hard Contact.
Bloodlines is Legacy of the Force.
Yeah, you're right. Bloodlines.
Same author.
There's a lot of conjecture with the Karen Travis stuff, I know, but the stories themselves are fairly good.
There's a Republic Commando video game, too.
Yeah, they're coincided together.
They tie in with books.
The Republic Commando video game is a fun little.
God, Grievous is so hard on that game.
Oh, man. Off.
It took me forever.
I still have nightmares about that level.
As far as novels go, if you're a fan of the prequels at all, Darth Plagueis is a must-read. Darth Plagueis will make the prequels, even if you're a fan, 10 times better. I read Darth Plagueis right before Phantom Menace came out in 3D, and I seriously watched the movie completely different. Mm-hmm. It's a really fantastic book. It's by James Luceno. Highly, highly, highly recommend it, especially if you're a fan of the Sith or Palpatine. Yeah, definitely. It's amazing.
I'd say if the prequels aren't your thing, you should you should read Plagueis.
Yeah. Another one is the novelization for Revenge of the Sith.
Yes, I was just about to say that. Absolutely. The prologue alone will change your entire perspective of the movie. Yeah.
My one warning with reading Stover's Revenge of the Sith is you will need a palette of Kleenex.
Yeah, absolutely. Anakin's fall to the dark side is so poetic in that novel compared to the movie. But
there are some lines in that book, which the book is kind of alternate perspectives.
Mm-hmm. So it counts as the EU.
Yes, it
absolutely
does. It's looking at Revenge of the Sith from other points of view.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some lines in there that, especially from like Obi-Wan, that are just gut-wrenchers. So definitely go pick up that book, but be warned.
It's like the movie opens, you know, everyone knows Revenge of the Sith opens up with the war above Coruscant. So they actually go in the very prologue, they're talking about how everyone has this sense of dread that the war has come to their doorstep. And you really get all of a sudden Star Wars is human again, and you're like, holy crap, this is a war in these people's backyard, and they're scared, and they're talking about everyone's watching the holodeck and how scared they are. And then right at the end of the prologue, they say that they see two hyperspace bubbles break out of the sky, and they're like two Jedi starfighters. Only two. They only need two, because Anakin Skywalker and Obi-Wan Kenobi are on the scene, and something like that. And you're just like, I got goosebumps telling you about it right now. It's so good.
And a question over here.
Oh.
Not close.
Oh, okay.
Careful, that's a really hot mic.
All right. less of a question, again, and more of an additional recommendation. You mentioned the Revenge of the Sith novelization, and it is brilliant. I agree. There's also a really funny sequence where Obi-Wan talks about Anakin's butt. But anyway. there's another novel that's by James Luceno as well, who did Plagueis, that's set right before it called Labyrinth of Evil that I would also recommend.
Yes.
It's a very good lead-in too, especially if you've seen Revenge of the Sith, the film. It's a very good lead-in into the novel and the, yeah,
but
all that stuff.
But you don't need to read Labyrinth of Evil.
No, you don't need to read it. It's just cool.
And there's actually another novel that comes right after Revenge of the Sith called Dark Lord, The Rise of Darth Vader. And they kind of work as a trilogy in a way. If you read Labyrinth of Evil, Revenge of the Sith novelization, and then Dark Lord, Rise of Darth Vader, it kind of works as a trilogy. All three of those novels I would highly recommend.
So I have a secret that I've never read the Revenge of the Sith novelization just because I'm afraid I'm going to cry so much. But one of my favorite quotes is from that book, which is at the very end. And it's, "The dark is generous and it is patient and it always wins. But in the heart of its strength lies its weakness. One lone candle is enough to hold it back. Love is more than a candle. Love can ignite the stars."
Seriously, Stover's prose in this book is great. Go get yourself a copy. And there is one more book we want to recommend from this era. It just released, and we're going to give a copy of this away, Kenobi by John Jackson Miller, and it is fantastic. It's sort of an origin story from how General Kenobi became crazy old Ben. And it is so, so wonderful. Nancy and I got advanced copies to review, and we could not put it down, and it killed us to wait until this last Tuesday to talk about it, because it's such a good book. And if you don't win this copy, I'd highly encourage you to go onto Amazon, go to your bookstore, and go get it, because this will be some of the finest Star Wars literature you read.
Yeah, and this is one book you really don't need to know anything other than seeing the prequels, or just anything about Ben Kenobi, knowing that who he was, to understand this book. There are references to other works in the expanded universe, especially the Outlander, the Outlander comic, but I've never read them, and I read it and I understood it fine. So yeah, it's a great jumping in point.
It's also safely in a part of the timeline that is not going to be affected by the sequel trilogy.
Yes.
So you can read it and say, I don't have to worry about deleting this from my memory in 4 years.
Well, we say that now, but then Disney bought Lucasfilm and everything we knew got turned upside down.
But, you know.
They did, yes. We definitely give them credit.
We haven't really seen what they've done with Marvel yet. They just distributed the Avengers. I don't think they were involved in its production, but, you know. We got Iron Man 3 out of it. No.
Question back there, sorry. And again, one last time, I'll check. Does everyone in here have a raffle ticket?
If you don't, get one.
Great.
I don't.
I like your
You're not
your
eligible, sir. Go ahead.
Oh, good, a microphone. This isn't nervous at all. I grew up with canon. I grew up with the movies. I mean, when I was a young girl, I would lay in bed sick and watch the movies. And then meeting my fiance, he introduced me to the Mandalore side of it and quickly immersed me in his obsession, which was amazing. Yeah, I see that. I know who you are. Yeah. In saying that, I hear you guys talk about the different books and the different series that you all enjoy, and I was just curious, what is more preferable to you storyline-wise? Do you enjoy reading more about the soldiers or the Force users or the Mandalorians themselves?
I'll go first. I tend to prefer reading stories about sort of the other people in the universe, the grunts, the soldiers, the people in the background, the non-Jedi, who are going out there every day proving the Whedon axiom, everyone can be a big damn hero. Like the X-Wing novels, which we'll come to in a little bit, this is my favorite series in the universe, just because it explores the pilots and the soldiers who made the Rebellion and made the New Republic work.
All my favorite books I'm gonna talk about later in the after Return of the Jedi part.
For me personally, I kind of fall on the other end of the spectrum as Brian. He kind of likes the background grunt type people that don't use the Force. I love the characters that do use the Force. To me, that's a huge part of Star Wars. So when there's a novel about characters, there's no Jedi, there's no lightsabers, I kind of start to lose interest. But that's just me personally. I know there's a lot of good books out there, like the X-Wing books, that don't really feature the Jedi. But for me, I love the Jedi, I love the Sith. I love hearing about how those religions developed and everything like that. So that's for me.
I think I tend to prefer the non-Jedi types too. X-Wing and Republic Commando have both been some of my favorite series.
I don't really have a preference, actually. Because I actually like the Legacy of the Force novels a lot, and I think there's a decent mix of every single group in that series. But then, I mean, being the huge Fett fanatic that I am, I liked Bounty Hunter Wars a lot. So, but who knows what's going to be left of that here in a couple years. But it was good at the time. K.W. Jeter, if anybody's a Boba Fett fan. We'll get to that in a minute.
I tend to be more of a fan of the non-Force user types, too, just because, you know, I was a kid growing up, I never was a big Superman fan or anything like that. I always liked Batman and Iron Man and the guys that had to kind of make their own, you know, make their own superpowers happen with technology. So I'm not a big, I've just never been a big Jedi fan. Wasn't a Luke Skywalker fan, you know, when I was little. I saw Return of the Jedi in the theater when I was 5 years old. And I cried when Boba Fett fell in the starlight. The guy to me, he was still alive. He made it out when the movie was over, you know. So, you know, yeah, not a big Jedi fan, but I love the background characters. I think they kind of add a richness to the telling of the stories. You know, not every story has to be about the great Jedi or the great Sith or whatever. I mean, I think at some point you kind of reach critical mass, but it's like, oh my God, we got another Jedi story? I love it. Jesus! You know, I'd rather have a story, don't throw anything at me, but maybe about Jar Jar Binks or something before I read another Jedi story.
Boshek, all right.
Coming to you spring 2015, Binks, by Voda McIntyre.
He's getting his new spinoff movie, you know? It's going to be a Binks spinoff movie. I'm just kidding, but anyway.
I like the Skywalker stuff. I read all the post-Return of the Jedi stuff that follows, you know, Luke, Leia, Han, and all their kids. That's what I started in the Expanded Universe on, and I grew up with that. And even in its diminished quality lately with Fate of the Jedi and things like that, that's still what I really enjoy is following the Skywalkers.
Yeah. So the next era is an era that's actually kind of surprisingly new to be developed, and it's the Rebellion era. 0 year, or right from the Battle of Yavin to 5 years after. And there hadn't been a whole lot of material. I mean, there was like the...
There were a couple of movies. Well,
as far as Expanded Universe material goes, yeah, I'm not sure if you've seen them, like A New Hope, Empire, Jedi. Good movies, I recommend them. But there is some new stuff that has come out and is coming out that's really worth picking up. But one is Scoundrels by Timothy Zahn. If you ever wanted a Han Solo and Lando Calrissian Ocean's 11-style heist caper, oh, that book is for you.
Yeah. And that's another novel you don't need to know anything about. Just watch A New Hope and go straight into it. There is some stuff they take in from the Expanded Universe, but he did a really good job making sure you don't need to know anything. You can just step right in. And this era is really popular right now. I think it's, again, because it's safe. There's a series called Empire and Rebellion that's coming out. Razor's Edge is the first one. I made a mistake on my syllabus, I realized. Razor's Edge by Martha Wells is coming out at the end of the month. It's all about Leia. Yay. In Honor Among Thieves by James S.A. Corey. I don't know if you've heard of them. They wrote what's the first one? Leviathan Wakes is a popular science fiction novel out. And their sequels, they're writing a Han-centric novel. And then I made a mistake on the syllabus. It's actually a novel by Kevin Hearn, which is a Luke-centric. So there's three of them so far. Don't know if we'll get more of them. I'm personally hoping for the Wedge Antilles novel, but we'll see.
There we go.
I really want a novel about Red Squadron.
Oh, me too. One of our reviewers at our blog just finished an advanced copy of Razor's Edge and loved it, so take that for what you will, but it looks to be another pretty good release to pick up, and it is another one of those books that you don't need any Expanded Universe context to get into. Just pick it up and go.
Yeah.
And absolutely the biggest thing to hit this era that's Expanded Universe is going to be Shadows of the Empire, which, I mean, 1996, the Lucasfilm pulled off one of the greatest really marketing schemes that any company franchise has ever pulled off, where they had games, toys, comics, books, all about a movie, and the movie didn't exist. So we get characters like Dash Rendar out of that. We got a very big Boba Fett storyline in that, where he's taking Han Solo to Jabba the Hutt. Who are some other new characters in that series?
Zizor.
Yeah, Prince Zizor.
Oh, the whole
huge.
Feline species.
Yeah. So you get the Black Sun, which is a new underworld syndicate. So, I mean, that.
Black Sun, who showed up in Clone Wars.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a whole series of games that came out with that. Obviously, I mean, most of it's called Shadows of the Empire. And then, I mean, especially for, like, people my age from who were born in, like, mid to late 80s, a lot of us got into Star Wars because of Shadows of the Empire. So, that's big.
Yeah, it was Rebel Assault 2 for me. You had a better entry point.
go ahead.
Oh, God.
Oh, I love Dark Forces.
Kyle Katarn is my boy.
Yeah, Kyle Katarn. Kyle Katarn, the Chuck Norris of the galaxy far,
far away. Can we just remake that game? Can we just remake Jedi Knight, please?
Oh, absolutely. You know, they say that beneath Kyle Katarn's beard isn't a chin but another fist.
I was so glad when they brought him back later. Expanded universe. He's on the council at that point.
Yep.
Are there any books that you would tell people to avoid at all costs during this era?
Oh.
Yes, and we'll get to that later.
One last book in this era. Another Matthew Stover novel. It's towards the tail end, but Luke Skywalker and the Shadows of Mindor.
Yeah, this takes place 6 years after, or 6 months after Return of the Jedi. So again, it's a novel you don't need to know a lot about jumping into. If you're a Luke Skywalker fan, this is the novel. People who are Luke fans have a lot of disagreements with how he's portrayed in later books, but this is amazing. And if you're a fan of Matthew Stover, definitely read this book. Yes.
So, question over here. Microphone coming your way. Careful, hot mic.
I don't know if this would pertain to this era, but I was just curious on the Thrawn, because this was in his...
actually coming up to that in this our next
But I was just segment. Curious about his incursion to the unknown region.
Well, backing up to the prequel era, there's Outbound Flight, Timothy's on. I didn't put that on the list because I kind of feel like you have to have read the Thrawn trilogy before you read Outbound Flight, but that's just my opinion. If you read Thrawn trilogy and you end up liking it, I would say basically go read everything Timothy Zahn has ever written, because it's basically everything about Thrawn.
Actually, I mean, I know we're getting to that era right now, but. I mean, if you were to tell someone, how would I get into Star Wars EU, you'd go, Thrawn trilogy.
That's your starting point.
That's the first book you want
to
read.
Star Wars fans disagree about a lot of things, but I think pretty much everyone can agree if you want to read Expanded Universe, start with Thrawn trilogy.
That's right. The graphic novelization is even really good.
Yeah.
Well, not so much invalidated, but the date system didn't quite line up, but the macro plot details of the book are fine.
I actually read Heir to the Empire right after Revenge of the Sith came out for like the third time, and I was like really surprised at how much it held up. Like, there's only a few things that kind of don't mess up, and they've made retcons for all of that. If you become a fan of the Expanded Universe, retcons will be your best friend.
And, well, that does bring us neatly into the next era, the New Republic era, from around 5 years after the Battle of Yavin to 25 years after. Essentially, this is recapturing Coruscant from the Empire, forming the New Republic, forming the Jedi Academy, the end of the Galactic Civil War, all that jazz. And yes, like we all said, in this era, and really in the Expanded Universe in general, start with Heir to the Empire.
Yeah. And the reason for that is that it was the first one written. So even though it takes place after a lot of the books chronologically, because it was the first one written, you don't need to know any history. You can just jump right from the movie straight into it. I really wish we had a copy to give away, but we don't. It's pretty much the start. Keep in mind, though, when you read a lot of this post-Return of the Jedi Expanded Universe, that look at the publication date first before you start reading it, because you might, I know a lot of people start reading these books and then they get mad that there's a lot of inconsistencies and they question why, not realizing that the prequels hadn't come out yet. So like, we didn't know that Jedi didn't get married. So, and here you have books where Jedi get married. And you just have to go with the flow and figure that's what we knew.
So we're finally in our wheelhouse. So obviously one of the series we'd recommend is Heir to the Empire, the Thrawn Trilogy, Heir to the Empire,
Dark Force Rising,
Last Command. Timothy Zahn, great books, get them, you'll love them. My recommendation for this era is the X-Wing series, which focuses on the life, trials, and tribulations of one Wedge Antilles. It's so much better than it sounds, trust me.
Wedge is awesome.
Wedge is great, right?
But that man blew up two Death Stars,
yeah,
right?
Two Death Stars.
That's what Timothy Zahn, when he, if you've read the annotated Heir to the Empire version, he said the reason that he put Wedge in the book is because anyone who blew up two Death Stars is good enough to be in his book. So if he hadn't included them in him and Rogue Squadron in Thrawn Trilogy, we wouldn't have had X-Wing. So thanks, Tim.
But yeah, this series is great because it focuses on the sort of background characters that make the universe work. The first four books are about Rogue Squadron, written by Mike Stackpole, Wedge Antilles. It introduces a very important player in the expanded universe, Corran Horn. So if you're gonna go on later, you may want to pick this series up, read about Corran, and honestly, if you skip this because there's not an overabundance of Jedi in it, you're really missing out on some of the finest literature in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, especially because if you come in later on, like in the Legacy of the Force books and all that, Corran and several other of the Jedi that are featured in the Rey Squadron books end up being Jedi, like on the Jedi Council and in the New Jedi Order.
So and Kyle Katarn.
Kyle Katarn. So you'll be kind of lost if you don't read them. Another I didn't mention when talking about Thrawn Trilogy, but I'd be remiss considering my shirt. If you don't read Thrawn Trilogy, you will not meet Mara Jade, and she's kind of important because she ends up marrying Luke Skywalker.
And that's
let's hope we keep her.
Okay, that's not a spoiler because the moratorium on that one ended about 20 years ago.
That's really my one hope for these new movies is that just don't get rid of any characters that are vitally important. Tell the story that you want to tell, but don't delete. This is Han and Leia's one son, Fred. No, I disagree.
There's three of them.
Yeah.
Fred Solo. Fred. No, the Thrawn Trilogy graphic novelization is actually really, really good, too. It doesn't hit every single point that the books do, but there's actually there's a good tear-jerking moment there where Leia's wandering around. And what palace is she in?
Imperial Palace.
Yeah, the Imperial Palace. And there's a big mural of Natalie Portman as Padme because they had already cast Padme right before they did it. Yeah. So Leia's sitting there in her, like, some fancy, I mean, she's pregnant at the time with Anakin?
Jason and Jaina.
It was a Jason and Jaina. Yeah, so she was with Anakin in Dark Empire. So, but behind her is a big mural of Natalie Portman as Padme, and you're like, oh, it's all together.
By the way, later today is an author's panel with Kevin J. Anderson, Timothy Zahn, Aaron Alston, and Mike Stackpole. Come back for that.
They're great.
It's great. Question back over there. Oh, there you are. Hi.
You again.
Okay.
Centerpoint Station? Isn't that over Corellia?
Proceed at your own discretion?
Yeah. There's the thing about this era is it's really, really crowded. There's a lot of books that came out in this era, and they didn't come out in chronological order. So basically, you have novels that kind of don't make sense.
But Warren.
Yeah, Waru. I'll praise Waru.
If you're feeling particular, if you're feeling like a glutton for abuse, go pick up the Crystal Star.
That case in point books you want to avoid, the Crystal Star. Yeah. But yeah, Heir to the Empire and Dark Force Rising and Last Command, those are pretty much where you start. If you want to read the X-Wing books, there's 9 of them, now 10, but the 10th book is later.
The original run was 9 books, and there are 9 of the best books you're going to pick up.
Yeah.
Is there a consensus on how to say Joris Kaboth Saboth? How do you say that?
I think it's Sabaoth.
Saboth? Saboth. He and Thrawn are pretty much the two antagonists.
Do you know back there how to say it?
On that last year.
All right.
Okay.
Oh, really? We can ask him later today, actually.
Yes, someone he's going to be here later today. We can ask him.
Someone ask him that question.
Also, someone ask him to pronounce Borsk Failia's name. Borsk Failia. Because that's the other one I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, this Thrawn trilogy is also really important because it introduces a lot of characters besides Mara and Thrawn and all that who come into play later. Borsk Failia becomes chief of state and everyone hates him because he's awesome. Meaning he's terrible. A lot of the Jedi come out. Jason and Jaina are born in the last book. If you don't know who Jason
not
and Jaina
Fred.
Are, not Fred. Not Jason Fred. And Jaina Solo are born at the end of, in the Last Command, back when they're sweet and innocent little babies.
And I'm just going to keep plugging these series. One last note about this series. One last note about that series. The author changes at book 5. Don't stop when the author changes. Keep going.
Before we leave this era, if you're into something that's a little bit more quirky, and if you like comics, you could check out the Dark Empire comics. Now, I know a lot of people don't like them. I know you guys don't like them. But it's a very nostalgic series for me. One of the first EU things that I read in the early 90s. It's real different, and it's real quirky. The artwork is really quirky. But if you're into that kind of thing, check it out. Basically, Luke goes to the dark side and the Emperor is cloned.
Yeah.
So, pretty crazy type of story, but I found it pretty entertaining.
It's actually one of the first comics that came out, so it is pretty important to the EU. And Anakin Solo is born in the series, Han and Leia's third child.
Yeah, so I just wanted to kind of throw that out there for anyone that's maybe a little bit more adventurous.
It's also the first reappearance of Boba Fett after getting out of the Sarlacc.
So
he's mad.
So moving through the last 2 points real quick. From here we get on to points that are kind of hard to jump into unless you've read the stuff before it. The first of those eras is the New Jedi Order era. This was when the contract switched from Bantam Spectra to Del Rey. And I would call New Jedi Order something akin to like those big Marvel events, Civil War, stuff like that. It was a big multi-book thing. 19 books. And start at the beginning if you're going to read there. Vector Prime and, someone dies.
These parts of it are really sad.
Yeah.
Much darker.
It is a... It's a Game of Thrones Whedon version of kill all your favorite characters. I mean,
Everyone
don't
dies.
Get attached to anybody. I mean, we don't.
It's a big departure from all the stuff before it. You know, they were still fighting the Empire, and Jason and Jaina were getting kidnapped all the time. But then when New Jedi Order started, they introduced a whole new alien race from outside of the galaxy to be the antagonist.
It's Star Wars Borg.
So it's a nice change of pace if you're looking for something that isn't, Sith versus Jedi or Rebels versus Imperials.
Sure. Question over there. Just shout it out at us.
That's the next
Yeah, which we'll jump into next, the Legacy era.
Darth Krayt was certainly around during New Jedi.
That's true.
It wasn't around, but wasn't really developed until the Legacy era. So, New Jedi Order encompassed 25 to 40 years after the Battle of Yavin. Legacy is 40 and on. The mainline series that showed up at this point were Legacy of the Force, Fate of the Jedi, and and the Legacy comics. And sorry, question here.
I noticed you didn't say much about the Jedi Academy series. Is that something you're not very happy with? I mean, that was one of my favorite series when I was growing up.
I like the concept of it. I'm not a big fan of the series, but I do agree it's kind of important to read if you want to keep going. The Jedi Academy series is a trilogy where Luke forms a Jedi Academy, and basically he finds a bunch of Jedi to come and train. And a lot of the Jedi in that series end up sticking around and forming the later Jedi Council. So it's definitely important if you keep on reading. The only thing is, you kind of have to read it after Thrawn trilogy. I wouldn't recommend jumping into the Jedi Academy trilogy because you might be kind of confused.
Yeah, you can definitely read it, but for the sake of this panel, we were kind of limiting to a start points for the era, and Jedi Academy was close, but not quite a start point. Yeah, you needed some previous context.
If you read Thrawn, I would say read Thrawn trilogy, then you can read Jedi Academy trilogy, and another book that's I really like is called I, Jedi. It's also by Michael Sackpole, and it's about Corran Horn, who is introduced in Rogue Squadron. It's also the only Star Wars book written in first person. So
very, very cool, very unique book.
Question.
Question here.
You guys mentioned the adult novels. What about the
Young Jedi Knights by Kevin J. Anderson.
People really like them. A lot of people, that was their first Star Wars.
Yeah.
Like, Bria,
it's a lot of retcons.
Speaking of which, turn back there to Bria. on our blog, Bria completed a 130 novel reread of the Expanded Universe, and she's still standing. So, round of applause for Bria. Just last thing, some recommendations in the Legacy era. Again, you need so much previous knowledge to get into this. There's not too much I can recommend as quick jumping in points, but there's Legacy of the Force Betrayal.
Yeah, it's basically the first books in these series, which is Legacy of the Force and Fate of the Jedi.
Yeah.
They kind of summarize what has happened before. If you read the X-Wing books and you really like them, the 10th book is called Mercy Kill, and it takes place right after the Fate of the Jedi series. And I would say, actually, you could probably read that as a standalone if you haven't read the other books.
And also the Legacy comics, there's a bunch of them. There's just started a new Legacy series, which I haven't read yet, but I've heard nothing but glowing praise of. Question? Yes. Yeah. Question up here.
Does Darth Crate appear in anything other than the Legacy comics?
Spoilers. If you read the Legacy comics, it'll tell you who he was.
That's actually one of my favorite parts of that is you learn who he is.
With that, how about we give away some books?
Yeah.
Do we have the lunchbox of things? Okay, we got three books here. X-Wing Rogue Squadron by Mike Stackpole, Kenobi by John Jackson Miller, brand new release this week, and The Essential Reader's Companion by Pablo Hidalgo, with a whole bunch of help from Eric Schoenweiss. So make sure you got your tickets out, and... Okay. 495-605. Yay!
And you come up and pick.
Yeah, come up, pick the book you want.
Get the essential.
And by the way, if you pick up Rogue Squadron, Mike Stackpole will be here later, and he can sign that for you. Okay, second one. And by the way, thank you to Lucas Books and Random House for providing these promotional copies we're giving away. 495-614. Yay! And 495-568. Yay! All right. Well, thank you all so much for coming out to the panel. What do we got next? Anybody know?
The Star Wars Episode 7 discussion and rumors panel.
Oh, yes. Y'all should stick around for that.
And there's some big fresh rumors coming out.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Apparently a big announcement on the...
Was supposed to be yesterday. Was the announcement. So... There was a rumor about a rumor.
The announcement's so big, it's taking multiple days.
Thank you.